This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
As seems to always happen, the question of the day, more come in during the break as after we asked about the game-winning, game-sealing plays that stick with you to this day. Andre Johnson, catching the back of the end zone, Hail Mary. 2010 Washington week two.
Yeah.
That's overtime. Is huge victory there. Someone else mentioned, I know he is what he is, but Deshaun Watson versus the Bills playoff escape.
No, that's fair, man. That was crazy.
I just appreciate the need for the disclaimer on the front end. Just, hey, I get it. You get it. We get it.
We all
However,
get it.
2019 Altuve, ALCS, walk-off.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone mentioned Ralph Sampson last-minute shot against the Lakers in the playoffs. You recall this?
I do recall this. It was Twin Towers at its peak. Of course, Ralph Sampson's career cut short with the injuries. But at that moment, I think there was like less than a second left. There was like 0.9, 0.7, just a little catch-and-turn midair kind of thing and knocked it down. Yeah, I do remember that.
All right, so shout out to you guys. Get involved on the text line, 713-572-4610, always available for you. Let's go around the NFL now, and we will start here in Houston as a little kind of accounting, but I think it might tell us a little bit of something about what this team is doing. Earlier today, we got a little insight into the idea that Kaimi Fairbairn has a little bit of a reworked deal in order to create almost $3 million in cap savings, for this season, $2.78 million to be exact. Shout out to Texans cap for getting that. But they agreed to that restructured contract. And I don't know about you. Does this at all highlight that Kaimi, there's not as much competition as maybe you once would have considered for him in this season?
Yeah, he's going to be their kicker. Like, we know what happened at late last season, but they love him. He's been damn – remember – middle all the way in toward the end of the season, we were extremely confident in Kaimi Fairbairn.
Yeah, I mean, he was AFC special team players of the week.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I mean, because he was just knocking out 50 yarders like it was his job.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he missed 6 field goals over the course of the season, and maybe the part that was more concerning was the couple of extra points.
Yeah.
That he missed, especially with the times that he missed those extra points and the pressure that they added to the Texans last year. But, I mean, he's still a guy that I think people have a lot of respect for and are capable of depending on.
And they will.
And, yes, they will. So you hope that whatever happened last year was a momentary kind of step back or what have you.
Yeah.
And that you get back to the Kaimi Fairbairn ways of before where he's very trustworthy of a kicker, but obviously being trustworthy as a teammate, giving them just a little bit of cap relief today. Some other things around the NFL. I did want to get your mindset on this because Bengals first round draft pick, Shamar Stewart, we've been talking about minicamp. He sat out his rookie minicamp.
What did I tell you about this cat?
What you mean, what did you tell us about this camp? Are you immediately, you're throwing your Aggie
See, I told you.
Under the bus?
I told you.
Yes. I told you from the start, it hurts me. But I've never really seen his numbers live up to what his physique shows you, and what his measurables are. And he may well end up being a Pro Bowler, but there's something about this cat that just doesn't sit right.
Yeah, he didn't participate. He has yet to finalize his rookie deal. or he hadn't yet finalized his rookie deal. And so the holdup was apparently that he was talks bogged down regarding percentage of compensation in future years to be paid as a training camp bonus. So, like, he was already in a place. Now, of course, to be fair, it is the Bengals, and I don't give them any level of leeway when it comes to matters of money.
Yeah.
However, the idea he came in, and yes, you did tell us about the ways in which, you know, maybe the production was not there, is even though you looked at kind of the physique and the tape and you go, all right, he's a good player. What's happening?
Yeah.
Or the measurables at the very least. Mm-hmm. And it seems like he got a little bold with trying to make sure that he got what he wanted out of his rookie contract.
Yeah. And like I said, maybe this is all going to be forgotten. But I wanted to stay away from him from the very start.
Damn, just throwing your Aggie.
Now, was it on the field stuff or just kind of attitude stuff?
Well, see, now I don't know much about the attitude and off-field stuff and all that from anybody that I speak with. But, yeah, I think the on-field stuff can be a reflection of some off-field stuff sometimes, as we all know. So that was what I was wary of.
Yeah. So we'll see what he ultimately does. But he missed that first opportunity just because he wanted to make sure that the Bengals weren't doing shenanigans on the contracts. What did you make of this? Obviously, the big football news of the weekend. The Saints quarterback situation, in a way, got some clarity, and in some ways got less clarity as Saints quarterback Derek Carr is retiring after 11 seasons. He had the shoulder injury that was kind of threatening his availability. Yeah. This is who I guess is become the NFL insider of In the Loop because he's Figgy's favorite, and some of the other ones be reporting about all sorts of stuff. Here's Ian Rappaport talking about maybe the reasons as to why this retirement happened.
Reasons why, and this is, again, something that we have addressed many times over the course of the last month or so. Carr suffered a shoulder injury late last season. He began his rehab this season, began his work this season, could not get to 100%, tried an injection, tried rehab, tried to make it go, realized at that point it was not going to be 100% without surgery. Surgery was needed. If that was the case, he was not going to play again until 2026. Instead, he retires, and the financials are important. Carr gets the $10 million in a roster bonus that he got earlier this offseason. He gives back $30 million that was otherwise guaranteed to him, gives back $30 million, helps the Saints with their salary cap space, not this year, but next year, and looking like Tyler Shook has a real chance to be their starter.
Boy, there's a lot there. There's a lot there that that you can dig in on with Derek Carr. First of all, the legitimacy of a shoulder. I mean, shoulder injuries like that can and have ended quarterback careers.
Certainly.
Just flat out. Can end your career. So I'm not saying there's nothing there. There's obviously a lot there with the shoulder. But then there's a couple of other things. Who gives up $30 million?
A dude who is a good guy for the most part. That's the fun thing about Derek Carr is that I think as a player, he is so frustrating to me. And not just me. Apparently, Saints fans. Did you see Saints fans rejoicing when they found out?
They was outside barbecuing. Man.
I was like, yo, you would think that it would be some national level holiday. Split. They were so excited. Like,
Derek Carr Day.
I'm like, do y'all see who's on the roster?
Yeah. They said, ding dong, Derek is gone. I was like, hey, yo. But, I mean, by all accounts, like a man of faith, and not to say that that inherently makes you like a good or a good person or a person that gets along well with folks, but he seemed to do that, right? Like, and one thing that I've always respected about him is he seemed to have his convictions and stand by him, which you can't always say about people, regardless of what their faith proclaimed is, you know, or not, or what have you. And so that I imagine that is like the good guy portion of it, of him being like, look, I'm not going to take this money that I do not feel like I necessarily am entitled to in that moment.
Maybe I'm just not as good a person, but I've known
That sounds about right.
I've known good people, I've known bad people, and they both want $30 million if they can get it. It's strange. Well, just real quick, Figgy, wouldn't be surprised if this is like he's doing this and then somehow comes out of retirement.
I was just about to ask that. Do you think he's staying retired?
I
feel like he probably going to get his shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
Rehab and all that stuff, and just be on the lookout for him in 2026.
Yeah, but if he was going to do that, he might as well do that on the paycheck. On the payroll. Like, I saw a video of his wife, who I believe is Hannah, if memory serves. I might be misremembering it, so apologies if that's the case. But they, the first day of retirement, Buddy was out here spending time with the kids, got a little date in with the lady, went to play some golf, play some video game. Like, I was like, nah, he looked like a dude who was entirely ready to get out of the game before the game got him necessarily.
Yeah. And he is 34. But that's not ancient for quarterbacks.
Yeah. I wonder, do you feel like he was pretty happy in New Orleans, though, the way they kind of ran everything?
It seemed like
it's kind of started getting a little messy towards the end.
Well, it got messy because of their salary cap stuff and all that. But
he knew that before he went in.
Yeah, he did. But I think he was pretty happy. So the first thing is, shoulders can end a career, so this is very feasible. Second thing is, I don't know anybody, good guy or not, that will just give back $30 million.
Well, you know one now.
I guess
his
I did.
His name is Derek Carr.
Third thing is this. Arch Manning.
Yeah, I've already.
Arch Manning.
I think I was looking at, what was it, Dane Brugler's way too early 2026 mock draft for The Athletic, and he has the number one selection being for the New Orleans Saints and getting the next Arch Manning out of Texas. Of course, there's a lot to be seen before we get to that place. But one thing that does indicate to some degree, and I would tend to agree, hey, man, ain't nobody expecting this Saints team to be anything level of good.
You don't have confidence in Tyler Shuck?
Not one bit, actually. I think I've been very clear about I not really liking.
Who are their other quarterbacks they got?
So they have three
Spencer
quarterbacks.
Spencer Rattler,
the guy who they drafted out of South Carolina, obviously played a little bit of Oklahoma as well. And then Jake Haener out of Fresno State. Was it Fresno State? I might be misremembering that. I hope I got that right. But Haener is one of those guys that I like, but I don't think that he has the talent for the level. Spencer Rattler is wildly inconsistent, which you saw at Oklahoma, then you saw it at South Carolina. And the inconsistency becomes notable because the good is good.
Yeah. Texans know. Remember, he came in went with Atlanta. Remember that? That was Rattler, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah.
And so, there
when they lost to Atlanta, wasn't it Rattler?
No, he ain't played for Atlanta.
No.
You think about Riddler.
I'm thinking Riddler. Yeah.
Yeah. The Riddler.
Yeah.
And yes, 832, Carr's boy was Dennis Allen. That was one of the reasons that people were speculating that he was bringing up the injury and utilizing it to try and, you know, leverage because he was not happy about Dennis Allen's firing. He might not be happy about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, you mentioned Figgy on the text, on the group text, the idea of, hey, man, Kellen Moore got to be sick right now. But he knew what organization he was going into. Like, even if they had Derek Carr, I don't know that I felt great about the way that thing was situated right now, and I guess some level of condolences to Chris Olave out there running routes for.
I feel like if they knew he was going to retire, they probably would have had a different type of free agency or draft.
That is the question,
or not?
Because they drafted this Tyler Shunk, or you know, kind of thinking he going to sit a little bit, or for my understanding.
But see, I mean, maybe that's how you manipulate it without manipulating it.
But see,
it, so
maybe
obviously.
You would have got in a Joe Flacco business or something like that. Some type of bridge quarterback or something.
Wait, I don't know that they.
Maybe they would have traded up for Jackson Dart or something like that.
But why be okay when you can be good? You know?
What you mean, like on the idea of be bad this year and try and get into what seems like very early on could be a really good quarterback draft? We mentioned Arch Manning. Lenore Sellers out of South Carolina is another name that's gotten a lot of love. You know, Garrett Nussmeier out of LSU. Like, there's some guys that look like they could be coming down the pike that could be really good quarterbacks, especially above what this class appears to be. But, yeah, it still feels like you would have done a little bit something different in the way that they went about it. However, there's still the possibility that they end up not going into the year with any of these guys as a starter. There's some names that are possibles out there. Immediately, one of the ones that comes to mind is Kirk Cousins, who is still there and available to be gotten. How do you feel about this as a potential?
If I were a Saints fan, I'd feel worse about that than Derek Carr.
Okay, very good.
I agree.
All right, so you mentioned Joe Flacco. With the Browns, remember, they have four quarterbacks that they're going to actually run through camp, and it is incredibly rare to carry four. Is there any possibility that maybe they let go of one of those, especially if it's one of those veterans in Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett? Would that be something that you think they'd be interested in? Because they don't have a real veteran.
I think Pickett might be the one because Coach Moore, he coached Pickett in Philly. So I think that's probably might be more likely.
I agree with you. I think Pickett might be the one. And that way, at least you have the semblance of a starting quarterback.
That's something. You know? Honestly, you could strike gold. I mean, I don't think he's going to be that good, but you could strike gold. If you don't, it's not a big deal.
There's still a book to be written on Pickett a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Is it a picture book? I do not agree with that assessment. I think that we know what Kenny Pickett book? Is. I was surprised that the Steelers went and got Kenny Pickett out of Pittsburgh when they did.
Yeah.
But with all due respect, some other quarterbacks that are out there. So those are the guys that are maybe on rosters right now that maybe they could go get. Then there's free agents that are out there. Let me know. Stop me when there's a name that you find to be somewhat some level of any level of interesting whatsoever. Okay. Carson Wentz.
Ooh.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Nope.
No, nothing on Twitter.
No,
okay.
No, right. No.
Jeff Driscoll.
Oh,
no, God, no.
Oh, I thought that was interesting. No, that's, okay. All right. You don't have to. You're doing a lot right now. You're being real mean to a former Houston Texan. All right. CJ Beathard.
Who?
No, I know. Tyler Snoop Huntley.
He might be the best one yet.
And your guy, Desmond Ridder.
Desmond Ridder is the one I was thinking of. Huntley or Ridder, huh?
Yeah.
But I feel like you're doing the same thing.
But you're forcing
with,
it.
You're doing the same thing with Ridder as you'd be doing with the other guys that you have on your roster. I just wanted to point this all out to say, hey, man, doesn't look like there's a great opportunity for Kellen Moore and his Saints to be particularly good this year. Although, Tyler Shuck, he had his odds jump up quite significantly on potential Rookie of the Year.
Oh, good luck.
I know at FanDuel.
Don't waste your money.
He was a 20-1. He jumped up rookie to a 14-1. Some places had him jumping up to a 10-1, I think.
Oh, man.
DraftKings Sportsbook. So if you feel like maybe, just maybe, he could get out here and shock the world under Kellen Moore's tutelage, that is there for you. Some other things around the NFL. The schedule release for the international games. Should be coming up over the next few days. In fact, we did get one official announcement when it comes to the schedule, and that's that the Eagles, obviously as the champion, will start the season off on Thursday Night Football ahead of, in week one, but like in that week one area. They'll be facing off against a division rival in the Cowboys. It's Cowboys-Eagles to start the season. How exciting is that to get like a division game to start the year like that?
Oh, that's going to be fun. That's going to be absolute. That's a perfect way. To start out the season, you got obviously Cowboys, we all know, and then the defending champs. No, I think that's great. What gets real interesting, and we're going to get some of these as we move along here. They have some official early announcements on some of these games that are out there, but we'll see. That's the first one, and then we'll see how the other ones play out.
Yeah, so we should be getting a few announcements over the course of today.
Fox on Monday today is going to announce a game. Prime Video as well.
So Thursday Night Football, we'll get some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we'll get some more over the course
ESPN
of tomorrow.
ESPN on Good Morning America tomorrow. CBS this morning tomorrow.
And then, of course, Wednesday is when we get the full accounting of all of the games this season.
Mm-hmm.
Although, again, I think it was a Pro Football Talk that was giving us a little bit of a leak. They had some reporting that it looks like the Sao Paulo Chargers game is probably going to be Chargers-Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, a division game, which seems like they're opening up the possibility of playing those more overseas.
They're trying to make it spicy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would take the Texans out of that running, as we kind of talked about. Feels like that'd be the best opportunity for maybe that being the case. So we'll keep an eye out for all of those circumstances as we continue on the show. That's Around the NFL right here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Somebody said they must be crazy. Rookie of the Year, that Tyler dude won't finish the season. He'll get injured. Tyler Shuck, he has had some injury stuff, but maybe the age and the experience that he comes in with is what people are leaning on. I don't know. We'll see what that looks like. All right, coming up next, I've got a stat. And I'm interested on whether it makes you more or less assured about these Astros bats that have been ticking up in the month of May. Let's talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you Welcome to the club.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Yeah, happy Monday. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atula. We were just talking about the Saints and the circumstance that they're in with Derek Carr retiring, and somebody's like, the inevitable. Could the Texans trade Davis Mills to the Saints?
This one might be a little more, this might be more on the table than we think.
I mentioned to Reggie, this has Nick Caserio written all over.
This one kind of makes sense.
It's got Nick written now, all over.
Now, I mean, the Texans did draft a quarterback, a late round quarterback, so I don't know how he going to look.
Well,
if he looked decent.
And they're kind of looking at it like a redshirt year, you know, kind of put him on the, you know, put him on the back burner for a little bit.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I mean, it's got Nick written all over it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess.
I wonder what you could get for him.
He would be a start. He'd be penciled in as the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it's like
fifth?
Fifth. Yeah, I almost said fourth.
Yeah.
But fifth.
Yeah, but at that point, I mean, I feel like that would be like during the season in my mind just because.
Maybe.
I feel like what's the point in getting to Davis Mills, and I don't know that they'd be wanting to go with Davis Mills as their guy going forward, right? I don't think that that'd be like a Matt Schaub type move. Like
no, they when you acquire Arch Manning.
Right. I think that the idea is like you'd be kind of gapping it. And if that's the case, why not just go ahead and be bad or find found money in the guy that you drafted, right? Mm-hmm. One way or the other with Tyler Shuck. I just, oof, oof. Best of luck there. But yeah. I guess we'll see, because I think that there's a level of camp that will give some insight into how they feel about all those circumstances. All right. Let's talk a little bit about this Astros team, because we talked about the start of this 17-game, 17-days situation. And one of the really fun parts of it was that the offense really stepped up in a big way in a couple of instances. One was even in that loss, the offense, produced in such a way where they made the Reds have to keep playing in that game. They could not just salt it away. They had to keep going. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you had, you know, both on Friday night and then also Sunday, you had some really good offensive performances. And this highlights the idea that since the month of May turned over, this team has been hitting really well, particularly Yainer Diaz, who is a 368 batting average in the month of May, mm-hmm. including an OPS of 979, damn near 1,000 OPS. And so you're seeing this team really bounce up in the month of May. And as I was like looking into what was happening for Yainer, which, I mean, just deeply encouraging, 9-game hitting streak since the start of the month. His OPS plus is a 200, mm-hmm. up from a 58 in the months prior, right? Like just incredible uptick. And the number that I was looking at had to do with Bobbitt. Are you familiar with the statistic, Bobbitt?
Vaguely.
It stands for batting average on balls in play. And in theory, like it gives you an idea of how quote unquote lucky you've been when you put the ball in play, right?
Right.
The league average this season is a 290, and in general, around 300 is considered average, right? If you put a ball in play 30% of the time, you imagine that you'll get a hit off of it, right? Mm-hmm. Yainer Diaz, his BABIP in this month, as you've seen him tick up, is a 387, which again, about 80, 90 points above league average. Christian Walker, who has ticked up in this month, he's been a 314 batting average, which has been great. His batting average on balls in play, 379. Again, 80, 90 points above league average. Isaac Paredes, been a 310 batting average. I know I'm throwing numbers at you, but the most important part, the batting average on balls in play, 409. He's 41% of the balls that he's putting in play are ultimately, you know, finding grass or allowing him to reach base. And then Jeremy Pena, the true steady Eddie, his batting average on balls in play is a 310. So it's a little bit closer to bat to average. But those are some of the kind of key contributors right now, especially with Altuve, you know, taking a couple days. Jordan on the IL taking some days off rather.
He's on the IL.
I flipped those. Yeah. But those major contributors, those guys, and the idea being there's a little bit of luck here with these bats. So how much do you find a level of calm within that? Like, does this make you more assured about the bats that they're just finding their level and they're bouncing back from what has been a rough start for the Astros and getting themselves to level and it'll just kind of even out? Or does this make you go, hey, this uptick that you're seeing in hitting is just a stretch of good luck and maybe you could see that start of the season kind of production again?
I've never thought of this. This is one of those stats that I don't believe in, and I'm familiar with this one.
Okay.
Some of them, as you well know, I give you a hard time, but some of them I do subscribe, you know, to that stat being very reflective of what that player is doing, whether it's pitching or hitting.
Yeah.
This one I've always been skeptical of.
Why is that?
Because a ball in play, you don't know if it's been squared up or if it's just luck. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like if I hit a dribbler we had a couple of these plays, you know, over the course of the weekend. You had a kind of softly hit ball that just finds a hole. That's not a good hit per se. It's a hit. So
right.
All hits are good in some ways. So, but it can also be that those numbers are jumping 80% or 80 points because they were squared up.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So I never have put a lot into this. So you almost believe what you want to see. Because you look at it and say, are they getting lucky? I look at it and say, maybe they're just really squaring them up, and that's why when the ball is in play, they have a better chance of getting a hit.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's one that I don't necessarily buy into. Not to say that it has no value whatsoever, but you can almost see what you want to see. So I am very encouraged over this last – I looked up some numbers just for the last five games, just a very recent sample size. And the same players are doing well.
Agreed.
Yonner Diaz and just go down the line, Christian Walker. You mentioned
Isaac Paredes and Jeremy Pena. Those are the main ones that I looked at. But even as a team, just to be, you know, fully evident and fully fair, when you look at the kind of splits that you get for the month of May, as a team, 340.
Right.
So again, about 40 points above or 50 points above league average on batting average when you put the ball in play.
Right. But if I hit a ball really hard right at someone, you know, that's the hit probability thing and all that stuff. But if I hit a ball in play, we don't know if it was a hard hit or not.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
No, and I think the general idea is, on average,
yeah,
whether it's hit well or not, eventually you'll find your level to around 300. And
sure,
right now they're hitting above that. And mm-hmm, so it seems like, just to kind of, again, the idea was to get your feeling on it. It seems, yeah, like for you, you're in a place where you just feel like, no, this is where the Astros should be. And they're finding that offense. And it's much needed, as we mentioned. Like,
yeah,
that was what allowed them to win that series this weekend. And it really allowed them to kind of cover up what was a rough go of it on Saturday, in addition to a great go of it on Sunday for Ronel Blanco.
Yeah, and this is how I look at it. When this all started, and Yordan, you know, goes on the IL. By the way, I guess today's the 12th. Tomorrow he's available to come off the 13th. So we'll see. You know, if he stays a little longer or comes off. But when this all started, and Yordan goes on the IL, and Altuve struggled a little bit, and now he's taking, you know, some time here and there, we needed three guys to step up. We needed Perez to step up. We needed Walker to step up, and we needed Yonder to step up. They have. I'm very encouraged. No matter how you get to the numbers,
sure,
I'm very encouraged that those three guys did what you need to do. And obviously, you know, with the 17 games in 17 days, you need that even more.
Yeah, and I think I am also encouraged. I don't, mm-hmm, want to make it seem, mm-hmm, like I was using these numbers to, you know, say that they've just been lucky.
Yeah,
because even if it is the hot stretch in what is the marathon of the season, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to see ups and downs. I think this is the perfect time for you to have that up when it comes to batting. Mm-hmm. Because, again, we've talked about Hayden Wesneski going to the IL. You have a couple of guys that you typically look at as bellwethers for your team that are not playing, at least for short periods of time, where you talk about Jose Altuve, Yordan, mm-hmm, Alvarez. And then, you know, like we mentioned, you're going to a six-man rotation. There's some nebulous things in there. Ryan Gusto will, mm-hmm, go again today as a starter. It looks like Colton Gordon will probably get called up after Fromber. Hell, are you going to get good or bad Fromber tomorrow, right? Those are all questions that you have in this stretch. And you don't have great offensive teams over there. And so you can, if you're hitting well in this period, even if it's just, hey, this team is getting lucky, getting hot, whatever you choose to call it,
mm-hmm,
in these 17 games, you could find yourself on a run against a span of not good teams and running up to the Mariners, who is a hitting, mm-hmm, well. And you might see yourself winning those 12 games,
right,
out of 17 that you were looking at before, mm-hmm, where I thought I'd be comfortable with you winning, going 10-7 during the stretch. What happens if you go 12-5?
I think I said 11-6.
Right. It might have been our guy Lacey on the text line who said 12-5. Like,
yeah. But,
if you're hitting well, like it feels like they, mm-hmm, are in the month of May, not even feels, the numbers point to they are,
mm-hmm,
I think that this is the perfect time to get yourself on a run where a 17-game, 17-day stretch is typically supposed to be a tough one that wears on you. If your bats are going, that might kind of, you know, normalize what's supposed to be a stretch that you're just trying to get through and make it into a strength for you, which is a much-needed portion of this Astros season where they're just above 500 and they're looking to maybe make a little bit of run to try and close the distance,
yeah,
and maybe even try and take back the top of the AL West.
And you know, the Royals, you know, a decent team. They're in kind of in the mix in the wild card as well. So you'll get a good test there. But then you've got the Rangers, four in Arlington and three against Tampa Bay before you face Seattle. So if they're starting to groove, you know, this Royals series should be able to be a good gauge on that as well.
Yeah. So Royals tonight, obviously through Wednesday, and tonight it's Gusto, as I mentioned, on the mound. Hopefully he does well, but more importantly, hopefully these hot hitting continues from Yainer and Isak and, you know, Christian Walker, all these guys, because that's going to be huge at helping this Astros sustain some winning and hopefully, again, put themselves in good position as the race for the AL West continues.
And Yainer has to hit. I mean, if he's going to be what he is, I think he gave up another one or two stolen bases the last couple of days. He's going to have to hit because the defense, especially throwing out runners, is not there.
Yeah. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including a little bit more information on the NBA draft lottery. And is Michael Jordan coming back to basketball? In a way, we'll talk about it next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Again, it's a Monday, and this Monday is important for Houston sports in one very particular way. NBA draft lottery is tonight. NBA draft lottery is tonight, and the Rockets have a pretty good chance at this. We were looking at the draft odds, and of course earlier today, it wouldn't be right if I didn't flub some. And you were asking like on the percentages of getting the number one pick, the number one overall pick, and the Utah Jazz, Washington Wizards, and Charlotte Hornets, by virtue of them being terrible last season, are all tied with 14% chances to get that pick. But as you go further, like the Rockets via the Suns pick that is there, have the ninth best odds at that at a 3.8%. So not a 4% chance of getting that number one pick, and probably about a 17 thereabouts chance of getting moving up into that top four area, which would put you in the play for the likes of Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper out of Rutgers. Ace Bailey is one of those guys out of Rutgers as well. VJ Edgecombe out of Baylor. There's some names of guys that could really contribute, but obviously Cooper Flagg is the ultimate prize in this thing. What are you feeling? And I know someone earlier, because I know the NBA draft in particular, lottery rather, is one of those places where people have the sports conspiracies, right?
Going back. Yeah, I'm always feeling that.
Here.
Always feeling that.
Yeah. So we got a full room of folks
I don't bet on a lot of things, but I don't think there's nowhere in hell the Rock is going to get number one, man.
You don't think so?
I just don't see it, man.
Okay, maybe not the number one.
That conspiracy mind, I just feel like the NBA is back there like, you know what, let's give it to somebody who deserve it. Nah, I don't think the Rockets deserve it. Let's give it to this. I'm in that boat right there, man. I just don't see them coming out with the number one overall pick.
The big conspiracy theory is San Antonio, and they have a 6% chance. Because they, you know, Wemby and then Castle, both rookies of the year, and then, you know, throwing them a bone with Flag, that would be problematic to say the least.
That's the funny thing about these conspiracies, that you could make them shake either way.
That's where I was going. Go ahead.
In the same way that you were like, I don't see, you know, maybe give some teams that are more deserving. You could easily get to the place where if the Rockets were to have just that 3.8% hit in a crazy way, people would go, oh, there goes the league trying to build up a top market on the continent into a team that's going to be there for a long time. They're trying to put another young talented player.
But have you seen like a team that made the playoffs that was the number two seed? And I know this is not their pick, but have you ever seen that happen like that, where they got the number one overall pick to a guy like a Cooper Flagg? I haven't seen that storyline right there. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Here's where I was going with it, Reggie.
Yes, sir.
If it's not the Jazz, Wizards, or Hornets, all three have the 14% chance. No matter who gets the number one pick, if there's an upset, it's going to look like a conspiracy theory.
Well, maybe
because you can argue. You know, Pelicans have a 12% chance. They're a little higher, but you can argue, oh, I see what they're doing. You know, they're trying to give New Orleans save the franchise kind of thing with Cooper Flagg. You could argue, you know, obviously the Mavericks have a very small chance. Oh, they're trying to take care of Nico. They're trying to take care of Nico and give him something to fall back. Like, no matter who it is, if it's not the top three, we're going to be like, there it is.
That's the beauty of it.
There it is.
Those storylines make sense, though.
Yes.
Like, when you hear that if Dallas get the number one overall pick, you're going to be like, I see what they doing.
I know, no matter what.
Like, I just don't have that storyline for the Rockets. Yeah. Like,
the storyline is a young, talented team that need a little bit more to get over and hear that a little more, right? Like, I think that's how you could get there. But ultimately, You know, it'll be decided on those ping pong balls and how they fall. But, you know, when it comes to ping pong balls, it feels like you're talking about, you know, you are talking about a lottery. Luck comes in. Mm-hmm. Do you know who, like, of the unluckiest NBA draft lottery teams of all time?
Oh,
right?
Since they've been doing this.
I went, because I was like, what are the chances, right? Like, if we're just going to use historical precedent on teams that might be able to fall and give the Rockets an opportunity to jump up. I know that's not exactly how it works, but rock with me. Only one of the teams that is ahead of the Rockets right now is top eight unluckiest in history, and it's the Utah Jazz who have some of the best.
I couldn't place it. Yeah,
so they have the number one best odds for the pick this year, as we mentioned. Or, well, they're tied for it with those other two teams. They've been in the lottery 10 times since they've been doing the lottery, and they've dropped 4 slots total. And so that, you know, they have a very low average. There's some other teams that have been even more unlucky, but none of those teams are, like, all those teams have managed to be a level of good, right? The Golden State Warriors have actually been pretty unlucky with the times that they've been in the lottery and the slots that they've dropped. They're not in that consideration. The Timberwolves have been pretty unlucky. The Knicks have been fairly unlucky. The Nuggets have been unlucky. The Mavericks have been crazy unlucky, which, I mean, boo-hoo.
Yeah.
The Pistons and then the Miami Heat have been the worst, have had the worst luck in the lottery. But none of those teams are factoring in. So I don't know if there's going to be very much opportunity, at least historically speaking, on the idea that the Rockets move up. But we will be watching, especially because Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon takes all of his great faith to Chicago for the draft lottery. And hopefully that will end up with the Rockets at least moving up. Because remember, last year you had the ninth best odds of moving up. And you got the number 3 pick.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens again, you put yourself in really good territory, maybe even for something like this. Sports Illustrated put up a possibility, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier in the show. Would you be interested if they did get lucky again, got the 3rd pick, then trading back with that pick to, you know, get yourself maybe a little bit more capital, continue to have that, and then also end up with a center? Maluak, the center that played at Duke, in order to give you a little Steven Adams protection and be able to, especially if you are a, you know, stick with what you got type of player, or person rather, end up with another center, great at rebounding. We saw that in the the Final Four versus U of H. And maybe add that kind of player in there so that you could keep the double big kind of feeling going.
Absolutely interested. Absolutely would love it. You know, I'm not so sure where they land with Steven Adams this year. And that guy, if nothing else, he can do what they need with the rebound.
Yeah. I find that. I was like, that should be very interesting. Yeah. Another basketball thing in West Poppin'. We just found out today that NBA on NBC, we know that that's coming back, and all these other organizations that are getting involved in the NBA product are bringing in various people to be a part of this. You know, obviously, was it Amazon or what have you that's bringing in? Who else were they bringing in? Dirk and Steve Nash and some of those folks to be on their broadcast. I don't know exactly what this looks like, but Michael Jeffrey Jordan, by many referred to be the greatest basketball player of all time. I know you have your gripes with that, and to some degree.
To a little bit, but not
because,
not horrible.
Because Will isn't considered enough. He will be a special contributor to the NBA on NBC coverage. I don't know exactly what that means. However, Michael Jordan, who has been a little bit of a recluse when it comes to like NBA stuff, I know he showed up to the NBA 75. Fashionably late, mind you, but seems like he will have some level of involvement in the broadcast NBA on NBC, and that feels like that's going to bring all the nostalgia into it.
For sure, and of course, Michael Jordan is going to be involved with the NBA on NBC. He was the NBA on NBC. I like it, but I'm also very curious how it plays out. He's got studio analyst written all over him, right?
But that special contributor don't sound like a studio analyst.
Well, no, I'm not necessarily a regular studio analyst, but someone who's going to. Yeah, I think he's going to be more conversational than.
I feel like he would have been that.
He didn't want it.
But all of these years, and now you're like, you know what? Let me dabble into the media part of it.
Yeah. No, and he doesn't need the money. He's still making a bleep ton of money. I think he just wants to stay involved at some level. And I could see him like popping in on the studio occasionally, for maybe on Sundays occasionally, whatever it may be. I think that's where he would fit in. But I am fascinated, like Figgy said, like why now and how's he going
to
be?
I think they probably gave him a title and cut him a little check just to kind of bring that nostalgic feeling back to NBC.
Yeah.
He just want to get a little extra money to slide over here to his racing venture, because you know he's yeah. chest deep in.
I think
all
they call
racing.
Him like, "Hey, Michael, would you like? Oh, wait, me? What? How much? Yeah. All right, sure, I'll do it. Sure. I'll pop in.
I could take a little extra gambling money. Why not? Let me take
a little
that.
Gas money.
That guy does
gamble. he loves it. Some other things that are popping. So let me get to this. We've been kind of following the Bill Belichick at UNC. Situation, and continuing on with that, you do have this audio, right, Fig? This is Pablo Torre, who has been at the forefront of the kind of news of UNC maybe getting Bill Belichick's girlfriend Jordan Hudson out of the paint as far as like doing any level of real running things in that program. Supposedly she is still welcome to show up or what have you, but you know, maybe not as involved with all those things. Pablo Torre on the Dominic Foxworth Show podcast highlighted something that I had not considered. He was asked, what's the likelihood, or you know, maybe what is the possibility that Bill Belichick isn't with the program on week one?
I think there's a chance, an absolutely real chance, that he doesn't. And the reason I say that is because even before the Jordan Hudson thing became as public, even before it went from messy backstage to now, obviously messy everywhere, the date that matters the most is June 1st. So when this contract was reported, Dominique, when the terms of Belichick's Carolina contract that made him the highest paid public employee in the state were announced, everybody who follows contractual language pointed out that on June 1st, the buyout of Bill Belichick goes from $10 million to $1 million if Bill wanted the escape hatch.
Man, I mean, I could see it.
You think he could take his ball and go home? Like, y'all treat my queen badly.
Can't you see this happening?
I could. And remember, when we were at Army-Navy, we talked to Nicole Auerbach, who covers college sports extensively, and she mentioned this. She was like, yo, this is a thing that is in there. But I think we were all thinking about this in terms of if another NFL job is up there.
Yeah.
I do wonder if, you know, they get into the flow of the college stuff in addition to all of the weirdness, and they realize, I don't feel like any of this is worth it. Mm-hmm. Do we want to eject OC this?
Well, the other thing is, I love how Pablo Torre has been kind of, they've been coming at him from the UNC perspective a little bit, and he's like, "That's cool." He is very confident in the information that he's getting. Like, he is very confident in it. You could sense it there. You could sense it before, and so I feel it's very believable and very plausible.
Yeah,
yeah.
And of course, I think we talked about it last week. My constant view when it comes to the UNC thing, all this other stuff is fun and salacious because it's dramatic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we all like drama to some degree. We might not admit it, but, you know, drama keeps the going. Yeah, that is the notion or the idea of entertainment to some degree. But, hey, man, I don't think that this is a good move football-wise. I think organizationally this is going to be decently untenable. So I'm very intrigued to see how this continues to unfurl. And I appreciate Pablo Torre reminding us of that little contractual thing in there that could maybe just maybe make it so that he decides to opt out and goes and does something like maybe just enjoying his girlfriend, like in a way that makes sense and that maybe concerns less of us on the outside.
But does he really want to hang out with a third place finisher?
Second runner up, sir. Second runner
That's
up.
Third place.
She is still competing.
That's third
in
place.
Miss Maine competitions, and she did this year again, and she was second runner up, which means she is falling. Because last year she was first runner-up in this. And
Belichick's like, third place? Really?
Oh, you think that's it?
Come on.
You think he was like, this is not sufficient. This does not live up to the legacy. Yeah. Need you to be better. all right, so there's that. And then, of course, circling back, one of the things that's popping, rookie minicamp happened for the Texans. I don't think not a lot of things. What are the quick takeaways? Mason Tharp is really, really big, in addition to Ariante Ursary being even bigger.
Yeah.
And then Tay just, like, oozing all of the swarm. He is just taking the row the boat, kind of apparently a Necton philosophy or Necton mentality, which seems to be what PJ Fleck has imparted in him. And we're just going to quickly do a little bit of a light painting and just make that into the swarm mentality, and that'll fit in very nicely. LD Henderson continues to be a place to watch as Nick Broker's no longer on the team. But with all of this, I know this, we're not going to get this, but you know, coaching is a part of the rookie minicamp, getting these guys into the language of this all and get into this place. D'Amico Ryans was asked about working with Nick Caley, who that's my biggest curiosity yeah. with all of this, whether the offensive line is going to be good, everything. I feel like Nick Caley is a huge linchpin in this. This is what D'Amico Ryans has said about working with Nick Caley.
Nick Caley has done an outstanding job of it's really connecting with the staff, connecting with the players. He's done a really good job of, you know, making it his, making the offense the Houston Texans, right? It's been a very thorough process, a very detailed approach, which was the same throughout his interview process. The energy is on 100 every single day. So I love the positive energy that he brings, the smile, the joy that he brings to work every day. And it rubs off on the players. So he's done a fantastic job of that. It's been great working with him. And I know he's going to do a really great job of leading, you know, that side of the ball.
All year long, the stories of this team, we know what the defense is going to be. So the story is going to be, what does the offense look like? What does the offensive line look like? Both those things fall in Nick Caley's lap. I don't have anything against his energy. I think it's a little bit overrated when you come to the professional level. But if it works, it works. And that's the story.
Yeah, but I know that the fellows of the morning show were talking about this. Like, how much do you maybe look at that as a very clear line of demarcation from his predecessor, Bobby Slowick? And I don't think you could ever call him an energy guy. And maybe, especially when we talk about not necessarily even the ideas, but how the ideas are implemented. Mm-hmm. Execution was a word we talked about a lot. How much does energy then translate to better execution possibly, especially in these types of situations where hands-on, mm-hmm. you know, with the rookies, but of course, once you get to OTAs, hands-on experience, getting guys a feel for what they need to be doing to the place where they have conviction so that when they get to Sundays, they're doing it with that level of conviction.
Yeah, no, I think, and especially on the offensive line, you know, because Cole Popovich is going to be sort of the conduit, so to speak, between what Nick Caley wants and what the offensive line does. And I think also is the types of players that you have, are they receptive to that kind of energy, to that kind of coaching style? All we're seeing is guys like Ursary, guys, you know, that have this Patriots sort of connection or guys that are high energy, with the exception of a couple here and there, that could well be receptive to that, and that'd be very big if it works.
All right. There you go. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we got a little bit of an interesting dispatch from Kelly Eco of The Athletic when it comes to the Rockets. It seems like they maybe, especially when we're talking about that very high bar to clear for them to make some real offseason swings, feels like they've shifted some of their direction on this. What does that say about Jalen Green? What does it say about the team? Let's talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.